You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Liberty, founded by the iconic Donald Gordon in 1957, reported first half results largely in line with the guidance provided last week, a loss of 2.2 billion in the midpoint of the guided range. And as expected by some, the group has cut its interim dividend. It might come as a bit of a surprise to others in the market. Chatting to Wayne McCurry, who was a little bit taken aback, CEO David Munro is on the line. David, COVID really couldn't have come at a worse time for you, because by 2017, when you took over Liberty, it was losing market share to some more fleet-footed competitors, the likes of Discovery and Sunlum. But earlier this year, you had hailed the company step change from a turnaround to a growth path, as you announced a 42% increase in annual headline earnings. Obviously, COVID then came and has disrupted that. What impact has COVID had on this momentum now? How long will it take you to get back on track?
Yeah, good evening, Michael, and thank you for having me on your show, and good evening to your listeners. It's absolutely unmistakable that this COVID pandemic and the crisis that it's caused is a massive setback for us in terms of the plans that we had for the business for 2020. We were close to the ranges that we had set out that would reflect real progress for the business since the turnaround plan that we put in place back in 2017, 2018. But frankly, that's small in comparison to the massive human catastrophe and suffering, trauma, grief that we're experiencing around us, the economic impact that we've seen. And frankly, the purpose of our business, as you described, set out by Sir Donald Gordon when he established the company, was to help people achieve financial freedom. One of those elements is to be there when they face the most profound moments of human vulnerability, and the pandemic is a massive concentration of that vulnerability coming to play. So we're actually living out our purpose at this point in time. It's giving us enormous energy in the organization, and frankly, yes, it's a setback, but it's temporary. We remain very well capitalized, having set aside the pandemic reserve, and we continue to invest in the company, prioritizing the things that can transform us and make us more competitive. So it's a setback, but for the right reasons, we need to focus on supporting our customers in these times.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's causing high levels of anxiety and uncertainty, not just for your customers and your clients, but for financial advisors, for your staff as well. How are you responding to those three key stakeholders in the organization and their concerns through this crisis?
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, everyone is affected by this. I've said it many times that absolutely no one is immune to the tremendous toll that this crisis has taken on all of us. So what we've tried to do is particularly for advisors, make sure that they are armed with the digital tools that allow them to engage with their customers and to keep their practices going, because they feel fulfilled and that they can, do their jobs. And for staff, remarkably, we managed to move all 5,000 people out of our buildings in the 2 weeks before lockdown commenced, and we still remain pretty much like that. 90% of our staff work remotely. That has its own consequences. People feel disconnected. People feel that wonder whether what they're doing is contributing. So we have a very intense communication plan. We do some really quirky things, like when we get together as teams, we play a song at the start of the meeting to lift people's spirits and to connect them. We talk about being stronger together. We were guided by three very powerful principles that we set out at the start of this crisis, really not knowing how big it would be. And those principles are: imagine it's possible, which means do not lose hope, keep imagining what is possible, act with humanity, and do what matters. And those small things have turned into big things in our lives, and it's kept everyone feeling, I'd say, committed to something, being part of something bigger than themselves. I think it's helpful that our purpose, as I said earlier, is really being fulfilled during this time.
And I think, David, in the beginning of the crisis, we were all focused on COVID-19 and the initial effects and impacts. I think a lot of our attention is now moving towards the secondary impacts, the mental health issues, the burnout. Well, it's great to be able to work remotely. The joke has been that you're not working from home, you're living at work. There's that pressure. There's the added pressure of not knowing, when the next paycheck is going to come from in an environment where job security isn't all that safe. Are you expecting to see heightened claims from a mental health perspective in the second half of the year?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, it's just such an uncertain environment, and it's so true. You know, we describe this as we're not working from home. Working from home is something that you decide to do. We are in a crisis. We all are at home, and we're trying to work. And I think it's your, you know, similar thing. We're now living at work. It's a bit humorous, but it does capture the sense of, gee, this is a very, very unusual situation that we're dealing with. And there will be not just mental health consequences, but general health consequences. Many elective surgeries and procedures have been put off. People are afraid to go to their doctors and medical practitioners for fear of catching the virus. You know, that has a medium and long-term consequence, which we are actually concerned about. I'm not sure that we'll see it in the next 6 months, frankly. I think this has got a longer-term fuse attached to it, and it's something that we've sought to try and understand in the modeling that we put together for this pandemic reserve that we created, because one does have to try and understand not just the consequence of COVID-19, but indeed the full healthcare consequence and therefore mortality consequence for the society that we serve.
And then just lastly, David, the issue around cutting the interim dividend. We've seen lots of companies cutting their dividends, so I don't think a huge surprise. Chatting to Wayne McCurrie a little bit earlier, he said he was slightly surprised because you are so well capitalized. Just take me through the decision to err on the side of caution at this time.
Yeah, look, Michael, it's an interim sort of results. We've just posted a 2-odd billion rand loss, and we've set aside 3 billion rand of reserves to meet our customers' needs. I think in that context, when it's understandable that we should be cautious about how this will play out in the second half. Have we got those numbers right? And what will we look like, you know, going through a very, very uncertain period of time? In a financial services company like ours, liquidity and capital are the absolutely most critical resources. And so we passed that dividend. I think it's understandable in that context that having made a loss, you know, we really shouldn't be then distributing capital to shareholders. We should wait until we make profits again and use those profits to make distributions.
Entirely understandable. Liberty CEO David Munro being phlegmatic, as always, about the pandemic.